Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Great drama is irresistible, something like a handful of people face impossible odds and save the nation. No need for fiction. Our guest, Jonathan Mahler, has written The Challenge, Hamdan versus Rumsfeld and the Fight Over Presidential Power. This book is an all-too-real cliffhanger in which the United States teeters toward tyranny with our individual and national futures very much in the balance. As a reporter, Jonathan Mahler is widely experienced, gathering pieces of puzzles even with subjects as complex and monumental as this frightening constitutional crisis. Turning those facts into an adventure, as Mr. Mahler does, is something else again.
One of the things that I was hoping as I was writing this book was that by kind of telling the story, and it really is just a human story of these two lawyers and this Guantanamo detainee and their incredible odyssey, by telling their human story, I could bring in all of these legal issues and through this remarkable journey kind of begin to understand what these issues are and why they are so important, so that it won't all be reduced to these sound bites like we're already hearing in the election. And it's just such a sort of reductive way to understand these enormously complicated issues.
Jonathan Mahler is a journalist and author of The Challenge, Hamdan versus Rumsfeld and the Fight Over Presidential Power. He also wrote the highly regarded book, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Bronx is Burning, examining the mid-70s through the lenses of New York City, Reggie Jackson, and the Yankees. Mr. Mahler also writes for the New York Times Magazine. Bill Russell and I share Mr. Mahler's sense of urgency on many levels, including the hazard of today's soundbites. Since The Challenge is both important and a great read, we were confident that a riveting conversation awaited. Jonathan Mahler, I'm captivated by a story that comes from Benjamin Franklin. He was coming out of the Constitutional Convention and a woman said to him, Mr. Franklin, probably Dr. called
Franklin.
Him Ben, Dr. Franklin. What kind of a government have you given us? Is it a monarchy or is it a republic? And he turns to her and he says, it's a republic if you can keep it. As I was reading The Challenge and thinking about the if you can keep it, I went, oh my, the experiment is alive and scary to this day.
Right.
The ongoing need to be thinking about challenging those who would turn us into a monarchy.
Right.
This is an old new story, isn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the great quote is from the framers is, ambition must counteract ambition. So the idea is, of course, the executive branch is going to be ambitious, but so must the legislative branch and so must the judicial branch.
That's wonderful. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
Does somebody get attribution for that one?
Yeah.
not required.
I want to say Alexander Hamilton, but I don't want to be wrong. So.
Well, but it wouldn't be Hamilton, because Hamilton was a monarchist.
And Madison?
Yeah.
Madison is plausible.
Yeah.
Maybe Madison.
Well, it also could be John Marshall. And all of these guys have come alive for me in thinking about the very current condition when the Bush administration so aggressively wants to change the rules.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I don't under or overstate that, do I?
No, you don't. I mean, that was what these lawyers in my book were very much up against, and but the system did hold at least in this case. So.
Well, it held. Yes, this is a yes and not a no but. I found myself reading this thinking, so if they win, then what happens? Of course, who was it? Barbara Tuchman, I think, who said the hardest story to tell is when you know what the outcome's going to be to keep it interesting.
Right.
I have to confess to you, Jonathan Mahler, that last night, having read the book once, I went through looking at my notes and effectively read it again, because this is a page-turner. This is a cliffhanger.
Thank you.
At every moment.
Thank you.
And,
yeah, it is.
And the story isn't done.
No, that's right. Even today, it's not done.
So what's the story?
Should I start from the beginning?
Well,
the story is begins with this man Salim Hamdan, who was born in a tribal village in southeastern Yemen, and fourth grade education, and no career, no job. Per se, he found his way to the capital city in Yemen, Sana'a, and was sort of a part-time taxi driver, basically.
This is no man, every man.
Exactly. He is truly, you know, there are hundreds of thousands, millions of men like him in Yemen, really.
And around the world.
I
mean, the culture is a little different, but
absolutely,
these are just people that are trying to get by.
Absolutely. Sort of aimless, kind of looking for a reason to live, really. And he found one in jihad. He was recruited for jihad, and he actually wasn't, the group he joined wasn't initially planning to go all the way to work for bin Laden. They were on their way to Tajikistan, but they never made it and wound up instead with bin Laden in Afghanistan. And he worked for bin Laden in a, you know, fairly lowly capacity as a driver and mechanic for 5 years between 1996 and 2001, was captured after 9/11. In November of 2001, was kept in Afghanistan in a couple of different prisons in Bagram and elsewhere. U.S. prisons, yep, for about 6 months before he was sent to Guantanamo Bay, and was at Guantanamo for about a year and a half before he was designated for trial by President Bush in these historic military tribunals, which were going to be America's first military tribunals in more than 50 years since World War II.
Which gives me a good breaking point, because at this point we need to talk about criminal acts versus war crimes and
sure.
Some very important distinctions to be had.
This is a nonlinear process.
Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, Jonathan Mahler, we all invite you to be with us when we come back in just a moment.